Hello, everyone, and welcome to... Wow, I forgot to come up with a title for the show before I started recording. That's all right. I will edit that in post afterwards. So, welcome to the first episode of...
Jackson Summer Show Series.
Great. This is the new concert review series going up on Radio Laurier. In it, myself, Jackson Wells, the current station manager of Radio Laurier, we'll be going through some concerts that I've been attending and will attend over the summer months, give some thoughts, feedback, share funny stories, and yeah, just generally have a good time with everyone, and do a solo podcast, which is new and kind of weird, so hopefully you'll enjoy it, and I'll be kind of talking directly to people listening as opposed to a co-host, so maybe that's weird. Maybe I'll ask you a question, pause for dramatic effect, and see if you answer it. Or maybe I'll just ramble on and on for probably too long. So, yeah, like I said, as of right now, this will be a monthly show throughout the summer months, and then maybe it'll continue on in the future. Maybe it won't, but yeah, without further ado, let's get into the first episode proper. And talk about the first show. So, the first show that I'll be talking about on the show that I attended last Friday, or last Saturday, sorry, is Pup the Band. I guess the band's called Pup, but Pup the Band's easier to follow. They're a local Toronto act that's kind of popped off a little bit. I'll talk a little bit more about them in detail. And they were opened by the band Pink Shift and the other band Sheer Mag. So I'll talk a little bit about them and what their kind of backgrounds are, and then how I enjoyed the show. But first, I'll talk a little bit about kind of setting up the show itself. The show was at a fairly new venue called History. It's in the Beaches, kind of like the east side of Toronto, or not Toronto, depending on how sensitive you are to what is and isn't Toronto. The venue opened last November. I was actually at the show that venue opened at, which is really cool. Bleachers played, if anyone's familiar with that band. Jack Antonoff of every pop record of the past 5 years fame. It's really nice. It's part owned by Drake, which is kind of cool, and also part owned by Live Nation, which is maybe less cool, depending on how you feel about those things. It's a 2,500 person venue, so not small by any means, but clearly not the kind of like arenas or stadiums you'll be going to, like what are those, Budweiser Stage, or like even like RBC Echo Beach that are outside, or it's not, definitely not Scotiabank. But you can pack quite a lot of people in there. It's really cool. It's kind of a little more upscale, I guess I would say, in terms of vibe. Like the bar and stuff is really nice, mostly just because it's new, probably, that it seems kind of fancy, which is kind of funny with the crowd who was there. That was a little more like punky atmosphere. Your $11 PBRs maybe didn't go over as well as they would at like Sneaky D's or something. But yeah, that's kind of a little bit of the venue. It's in a really nice area too. If you ever go to a show at History, I'd recommend going a little bit early. You can hit up Woodbine Beach. It's like literally 5 minutes away in Woodbine Park. It's a great time, and it's in a pretty decent area too. It's kind of out of the way of downtown, so it's pretty difficult to get there without driving. But yeah, I definitely recommend the venue. I'm seeing at least one more show there over the summer and then into the future. So you'll definitely hear more thoughts about me on History later on. I will say I also recommend the... There's a restaurant with a lovely patio across, like directly across the street from the venue, called Casa Di Giorgio. I had a really lovely pizza there, and it was like right in front of the venue, so you could even see the line. So once doors opened, you could decide when to go in. So yeah, it was really great, and I definitely recommend it. So I'm gonna go through a couple of the openers that were playing, as well as Pup the Band's background, a little bit about what they've been up to before the show, and then I'll get into kind of my experience with listening to them all live. So, the first opener at the show was a band called Pink Shift. They're a fairly new band out of Baltimore, Maryland. They are composed of Ashrita Kumar on vocals, Paul Vallejo on guitar, and Myron Hungbuji on drums. And they had previously released their first EP and planned to do their first tour in early 2020, but obviously something happened that would keep them from doing that. So this is kind of their first big tour leg, which is really cool for them, I assume. I thought it was cool. One of the songs that got really popular for them actually got popular during COVID, which is their single, I'm Gonna Tell My Therapist on You, which is really funny, like kind of angry punk track that, honestly, they're a really good band. I definitely recommend them if you want to be kind of in on something new that's coming up, if that's your reason for listening to music. Definitely, I think, in their scene, they'll be kind of popping off in the next couple of years. So recommend that. The next band, is a band called Sheer Mag, that were formed in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in year 2014. All of the band members met at SUNY, which is it's a university in New York. The only reason I really know about it is because Mitski went there and recorded her first two albums there. So I don't know how useful that is for everyone. The band is comprised of Christina Halliday on vocals, Matt Palmer on rhythm guitar and keyboards, and the brothers Kyle and Hart Seeley on lead guitar and bass, respectively. They originally self-published three untitled EPs from their house before their first album, Need to Feel Your Love, was released in 2017, which is also self-published. Actually, all of their music is self-published, so that's really cool. Their second album, A Distant Call, came out in 2019. I would describe the band as somewhat of a 70s and like 80s rock, like Led Zeppelin-y, those kind of Pink Floyd, those kind of bands, kind of a throwback to them. I would say that they put a little bit more of a punk spin onto it, kind of make it their own, a little more than someone like Greta Van Fleet, I would consider. Fun fact I read about them that I thought was cool was the track off of their first album, Need to Feel Your Love, called Expect the Bayonet, served as a walkout track for Bernie Sanders at several of his campaign rallies, most notably his comeback one after, I think he had like a heart attack or something like that, in Queens in October 2019. So I think that's pretty cool. So good for them. And that kind of brings us to our main attraction, which is Big Band. If you previously listened to, I used to host a show with a former Radio Laurier management team member, Keegan Gingrich. We did a show called The Great Canadian Songbook, where we counted down a kind of bracket of Canadian albums and picked our best one. Pup was a band on that list that was maybe more based on our biases than anything else. I actually went to the show with Keegan, if anyone's curious about how I did that. So that's my way of saying that this is kind of a truncated version of their history because they're a little bit older than the previous two bands, so I cut it down. But if you want to hear more, you should check out that. I believe those shows are still streaming on the site somewhere. Might be under archived, but definitely recommend checking that out. Anyways, Pup formed in Toronto in the year 2010 under the name Topanga, after the character from Boy Meets World, which is very funny. And they changed their name in 2013 to be more like kind of professional, but also to distance themselves from the character who was returning in the show Girl Meets World. Because, you know, laws and getting sued and stuff like that is not necessarily preferred. And they released their first album, Pup, in 2013 as well, which is followed by The Dream Is Over, near 2016, Morbid Stuff in 2019. And then most recently, The Unraveling of Pup the Band, which came out April 1st of this year, which I would say all of their albums are really good. Definitely recommend checking them all out. I would say particularly Morbid Stuff and The Dream Is Over are definitely my two favorite albums from them. Although, especially after the concert and listening even more, The Unraveling of Pup the Band is actually really growing on me. So definitely recommend checking those all their music out and stuff like that. I think they're great. Forgot to mention, they're made up of Stefan Babcock, who plays lead vocals and rhythm guitar, Steve Sladowski, who's the lead guitarist, as well as backing vocals, Nestor Chumak, who's on bass and keyboards, and Zach Mikula, who is on drums. Another fun fact about the band is that some accolades they've received is they're one of the few Canadian punk bands to receive any kind of major success on the Billboard Top 100 charts, specifically, you know, the alternative and punk sides of those charts. They have two songs featured in NHL games, Lionheart on NHL 2015 and Sibling Rivalry in NHL 20. So if you were looking for any more confirmation that they were Canadian band, you can definitely look to their inclusion on the NHL franchise to see that. They've also been nominated for several Polaris Prizes, which is kind of a Canadian arts award that's quite prestigious. I believe previous winners / nominees are artists like Kate Renata, Buffy St. Marie. I'm trying to think of other ones off the top of my head. I cannot, so I'm just going to stop. Apologies for not really remembering anything. I would say they've also won a couple Junos. I would say that if you're looking at kind of popular punk / pop punk bands out there now that didn't form in the late 90s and are still going, Pup is kind of one of the premier ones, which is really cool for a band that is from Canada, specifically Toronto, and carries a lot of deep ties to the area. I think if you're looking for, you know, a little bit of national pride, Pup is a great place to look for that. With that kind of extended introduction, those are my kind of top level thoughts on ideas and top level kind of background on the bands and the venue and kind of setting up the experience. So now I'll talk a little bit about how I felt about each act and kind of what my experience was, and then close it up with a conclusion of some sorts. This is obviously the first episode, so we're still working on format. So I try to make it a personal effort whenever I go to see a show. You know, typically every show has an opener, at least one opener, to listen a little bit to each of them, to kind of get an idea of just their vibe and their songs. And, well, I don't want to listen to see a band for the first time at a show, be like, wow, that was incredible, and then fall in love with them later, and then, like, never really see them play again, because I feel like you get a lot more value out of seeing a band that you like, where you know their songs when you see them, and be excited about it. So I never want to miss my new favorite bands, miss seeing my new favorite band live before, without actually knowing a little bit about them. So I listened to both Pink Shift and Sheermag, two acts that I'm not really familiar with, and I definitely kind of enjoyed Sheermag's discography a little bit more. But Pink Shift, going into their set, they go so stupid hard. When they're playing, they are young and they are intense, and their energy is like so high. They're so clearly like loving playing their music and being out on tour that it's hard, especially as a new band leading for a local fairly mid-level popular act, to, you know, get people excited to listen to you play when they're waiting for someone else. And it wasn't a packed house quite yet, because it was still early, but everyone who was on the who was in the floor was definitely moving around at least a little bit, and they even got people really going for it by the end. So big ups to them. Kumar, the lead singer, she is such an amazing front woman. She knows how to rock, but she also knows how to keep a crowd going, and get them excited and get them involved in songs that they probably don't know. So, I felt the energy and I was like jumping up and down and rocking out, listening to them. And I hadn't even heard of them, except for my concerted effort to learn more about them before the show. It was really funny. She announced in the middle of one of the songs that she'd been fired from her day job the morning before, which would typically be a sad thing, but she seemed pretty jazzed to be on stage. So it just seemed like it added to the kind of, you know, intensity and just the joy of music that I felt through them. So I thought that was really fun. Their drummer, Hung Bougie, he is like a human metronome. The man is so dialed in and following everything perfectly and hitting everything. Man, his like drum fills were, man, that man was driving the band. It was so great. Like I said before, it is so hard to be an opener for as a brand new band to someone who is already hyped. So you're already hyped to see, and they were insane. They had everyone shouting choruses by the end of playing "I'm Gonna Tell My Therapist on You," which, as I mentioned before, was kind of their breakout single. Screaming "I'm Gonna Kick Your Ass Through the Door" with like almost 1,000 other people. Great feeling, a great time. They were really great, and I definitely recommend anyone who's at least a little bit interested in music, and particularly like kind of up and coming punk bands. Another thing that they mentioned that I thought was really cool is that they're one of kind of a very few list of all people of color punk bands, which I thought was interesting to hear, but also like really exciting to see kind of an act like them kind of trailblazing onto the scene that is admittedly kind of painfully white, so at least kind of in the mainstream circles. So really, really excited for them. Really, I really love their show, and I'm really excited to see where they go. I'm definitely going to be keeping up for them. They announced that they're dropping their debut album this summer, so I think they've got a really kind of exciting future coming up for them. So I definitely recommend checking them out. I really had a great time. So yeah, they're really awesome. I can't speak highly enough of them. So that was Pink Shift. They opened kind of the show, and they were followed shortly after by Sheer Mag, who I mentioned before, kind of has I think they're like late 70s, 80s rock kind of throwback vibes, play really well live. Everyone knows that those bands back in the day, they all carry themselves very well live, leading to kind of like, you know, extended guitar solos and just good vibes all around. So I think that was really cool that their vibe kind of carried. Their lead guitarist, Kyle Seeley, the man shreds. He was so cool. He played this really sick Telecaster, and like a blonde Telecaster, major Bruce Springsteen vibes, not musically, but you know, visually. And the tone, like the crisp clear tone that he gets out of it, really, really enhances the band. And honestly, Christina Halliday, the lead, she was really cool. Like I don't know how to describe it. Like I think typically bands that maybe don't engage with the audience super much are sometimes kind of, I don't know, makes me feel bad. But she like played it really cool. She was funny when she did speak. She was quiet. She wore sunglasses the whole time, which is obviously a sign that you're a very cool musical artist. So yeah, she was really great, and her voice is insane. The range that she reaches, she's like really rocking. So I definitely enjoyed that. I think she's really cool. The only issue I would say with this set was that I think maybe due to their lo-fi vibe, it was kind of hard to follow kind of all the lyrics. But as I mentioned before, I wouldn't have known them anyways, so that's okay. It's not like I really would have been able to sing along if I could hear them, because I didn't know what she was saying. But I think is a full oeuvre of mood and vibe. They were definitely a great act to kind of follow, and they maybe they didn't like mellow the vibe out because they were definitely rocking, but they kept it consistent, which is super awesome. And then that brings us to Pup, the main event. One of the kind of funny like running gags looming throughout the show and beforehand was this was also the same night as the Leafs game 7 game, which as everyone knows at this point they lost, which I'll admit I'm not like the most number one hockey fan, but I feel for a room and I do like the Leafs, so oh well. But anyways, it was really funny. We were standing, you know, it's GA, general admission there. So like you're just kind of like standing in front of the stage, and we ended up watching the last couple seconds of the third period on some guy's phone in front of us, and it was truly devastating. The band actually came on like 10 minutes late because they said that they were watching and then mourning afterwards, which I guess you'll only get at a local show like this with a local act. Which is very, very funny. They also said when they came on that we're all losers here, but at least we didn't pay $200 to be losers, which I thought was funny. And yeah, and then once they started, they have this new like title track or new opening track on their new album that's kind of like a low key like piano ballad for the first half, and then breaks off really hard in the second half. And they opened with that. Board of directors are, no, it's called Four Chords, about the kind of like fictional board of directors of the album, which is very funny, and they open up with that. And the crowd was already buzzing because the first two acts were really good, but people just came alive. Like the pit opened up at the front. I was a safe distance away while still also kind of being in it. People just went insane. Like before they had almost even hopped into like the past the piano ballad intro of Four Chords, people were already like getting ready to go, and they, by the time things were popping off and the second song was starting, people were crowd surfing. And I've been to a couple shows now that are I guess maybe more like punk rock oriented, and never fails to impress me like how many people and how many different kinds of people will just get up there and just ride the wave of people, and how many people love to be in there. And it was 30 degrees outside that day, and I feel like it must have been hotter inside. I wore a t-shirt there and then wore another t-shirt to, because I bought a shirt there, and they were both soaked through, and people were, it was like elbow to elbow. People were so close. Definitely a warm experience, but that goes to say that I don't know if I'd say I have huge respect for the people that are crowd surfing nonstop, because I think maybe it's a little disruptive to everyone there, and definitely for security. You just need to see someone get yanked by security once they make it to the front during crowd surfing to see how unimpressed they are with people doing it, but people are having fun, so good for them. I definitely saw at least one dude get kicked in the face due to someone else crowd surfing, which is not good, but I guess everyone's okay and everyone's having fun. And that's the couple of shows I've been to, there's been surprisingly good like crowd etiquette in terms of people being around a super aggressive mosh pit, which has been interesting. And it's very interesting to also see what I've kind of called the pit crowd surfing cycle, where people will get up and they'll make it to the front, security will rip them down, and then they'll like have to run around the side and loop around to get back into the middle. It's very interesting and kind of distracting when you're like listening to a show and having someone like push past you every like 45 seconds, but it works out. And that brings us to my fun little anecdote about weird dude in the Leafs jersey who was clearly trying to make it back to the center before getting caught, and was clearly like drunk or like on something. And so he was just like spinning around in circles in definitely the wrong spot. I was standing more in like the pit adjacent area that kind of forms. And he was definitely a little too much for everyone. He threw an open water bottle in the air, which was super fun, and got both myself and the girl standing right next to me soaked. I didn't really care because I was super sweaty, but she definitely did, and her boyfriend definitely almost fought this dude in the Leafs jersey. But they worked out, I guess. They definitely didn't, and the dude eventually made his way back to the pit, which I'm sure he enjoyed. To that, the set list that Pup played, I thought was really great. I think it covered all the hits for me. Their new album is like kind of concept-y-ish album, which is definitely like kind of part of their act that they're doing on stage, but they were able to integrate kind of all of their other hits, which covered really well. I mentioned before they kind of played their ballady intro into the big pseudo orchestral arrangement, and then cut into kind of a lot of their hits. I think it's also really cool that they've got like a lot of like different like random Canadian or like specifically like GTA area references in their songs, which I think is very fun to listen to when they're playing at home with a home crowd who like kind of understand what they're referencing, both like just for fun, but then like some of their songs kind of deal with like more thematic things that are maybe centered around concepts in the area, and I think that works out. I think this is coolest when they play their Dream Is Over openers, If This Tour Doesn't Kill You, right into DVP, which is a song about driving down the Don Valley Parkway. And being really angry, which definitely fits into the beaches, because the beaches goes right past the Don Valley Parkway, which is definitely fun to experience, and in some ways enhances it, but it's more so just like a fun little tidbit. And yeah, they played all the hits. They played stuff like Scorpion Hill and Morbid Stuff, which are some of their big songs off their last album. And yeah, their energy was up so high. They were like, it was the last, I guess second last show of the tour. They're playing at History, the same venue the following night. So it felt like everyone, both watching and the band themselves, were leaving it all on the stage, which is really fun, because certainly I left a copious amount of sweat and probably like a couple pounds on the stage as well, because it's really hot and, you know, sometimes you just get to moving and you have a great time. So yeah, and it was really fun to see kind of a band come home after a long tour and be energized and excited. If it's not obvious, I really love this band, so clearly I'm going to be a little positive on it, but I really do think they put on a really great show. And they don't do encores, which is great, because I find encores very annoying, and they do too. So when they left it all out on the floor, and then so did I, and then we left. So yeah, I called this a concert review series. It's not really a review. I'm not gonna like put a score on things. I think that's weird. I don't feel qualified enough to rank the live setting of music. Those are just kind of, I just wanted to give some of my thoughts on a show in the area, and I guess in this specific instance, highlight a local artist, which is Pup the Band. You probably don't need my promo at all, but they're getting it anyways, so I definitely recommend checking them out. So yeah, that kind of brings us to near the end of the show for this episode. Overall, really great time. It was a really great experience. I really like History, actually, as a venue, so I would recommend, so far at least, the shows that I've been to have been pretty affordable there. You get dinged with the, like, $30 Ticketmaster fees, but unfortunately you get dinged with those everywhere, so there's not too much you can do about that. Yeah, I definitely recommend checking out a show there. I definitely, definitely recommend checking out Pup, and their new album, and when they tour, they're not one of those bands that goes like Toronto and then like Vancouver. They tour around the entire country in different places. So likely that you'll be able to catch them somewhere in the area. So I definitely recommend that. I definitely say check out Sheer Mag and Pink Shift as well, especially Pink Shift, but not to take away from Sheer Mag at all. I think if you're looking for some kind of up-and-coming punk acts, that's definitely one to follow. And yeah, 10 out of 10. That's a joke. I'm not gonna rate anything because that's too complicated. But yeah, be sure to check out other things that might be going on at the station over the summer. We got some interviews with local acts coming up that I definitely recommend checking out. And then looking forward to the new year. So yeah, this has been the first episode of insert name here,
Jackson Summer Show Series.
And yeah, thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you at the next one.